We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it's time to take time for Jesus. Not that we just do it once a week or so. I take time out to give him praise and glory and honor each day of my life. When I wake up in the morning, I thank him for that day that he's made and allowing me to share it with him and the blessings and just talk to him there. And we just have a communication there. The fellowship with him is greater than all things. It needs to be done daily. And to take time out of your everyday life and give him some praise and honor. That's why we just take the time to take time for Jesus. When we begin to do these things, my friend, we'll understand that more about him than his love and his grace. When we take some time out to read his word and in prayer, and all these things will come together in our lives that we're in, that we will give him more praise and worship. And I'm just glad today to know that my God reigns and he lives. The heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And we here as humans, he had mercy on and gave his life that we could have life. You know, you and I as being considered Gentiles in the times of the olden days, people that was out without any hope. But now that Jesus came into this world and died for our sins even before we were, and all these things, that it's made it possible that we could be joint heirs with him and joint heirs with Israel, one fold and the one shepherd, Jesus Christ the shepherd, and we all be one in Christ Jesus. That's why I urge you to read your word. There's a lot of people that want to make difference between this and that and one thing or another, but you know, if we've been born again of the water and of the spirit, and I know that some people frown about those that speak in tongues in the heavenly language, and they say that that's wrong, but be it known that at the time that when the church was first formed in Acts 2 and 38, when Peter said to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they all spake in tongues, magnifying God in different languages wherein that they magnifying him, and the other people understood it. Now, in other words, that was a language. And God gave every person a language, and he gave it to them to whereby that he could relate to the blessings and the goodness of the Lord through their own native tongue. So, my friend, we speak in the tongues that we're in, that the Bible speaks about and others do from time to time. We speak directly to God. We may not be aware of what we're saying and nobody else, except there be an interpretation. But the thing of it is, we oftentimes that people come along and make fun of it. Well, that's to their loss and everything. But we need to realize that we come into a time that we're in, that the Spirit of God said that he would dwell in us. So God has a voice. He has a language. And we don't understand it all, except there be an interpretation. But my friend, when they go to making fun of it, they're making fun of the language that God gave us to speak to magnify him. The evidence that the Spirit of God, the living waters, has came to dwell in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if they want to make fun of it, that's all right. That's their business. But nevertheless, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is one of the things that God is not going to be happy with you or I or whomever that might be, and that may come into the category of that. So let me encourage you to read your Bible, study it, find out what it's all about. You don't have to go to school to learn this, which it has been that they teach them to speak in tongues. Well, I don't I don't tell you to do that because I think that's absurd. It's not right. That language comes only by the inward filling of the Holy Ghost that speaketh. Mystery that we don't understand, but interpretations, we can know what God's having to say. I've had it to happen. I've seen it happen. And many times it edifies the body of Christ. And these things we need to be aware of, reading the Word of God and finding out just what it's all about. And then we can make the truthful judgment about it and accept it. Jesus said on the last day of the feast, before he suffered death on the cross, he stood up and he told the people there, "If any man thirst, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely." And that is what it's all about. It's not just drinking water as water is, but it's the Spirit of God that is made mention there. Jesus is the Spirit that comes within us, and it's living waters. So, my friend, be aware of the things that are going on around and about us, that we take notice of it by reading the Bible and finding out the truth, knowingly that God is truth, and let all men be liars. I don't care where he come from, what nationality he is, and everything, that God be truth and all men be liars. Now, we speak the truth when we speak and magnify God and talking about his word and bringing forth the truth that way. But normally a carnal-minded man will lie to you about things, and some of these false preachers and false teachers and false prophets that come along, they were there on the days that when even Jesus walked among man, he declared them to be. And the apostles also declared false teachers and preachers to be. So we look at the scriptures and we find out, and if it be not of God, then it's not right. But sometimes we get into a place, a shepherd takes his sheep out and he leads them before him. A false shepherd, he herds a bunch of goats around in a place wherein a goat will take care of most anything you give him, he'll eat. They say he'll eat 10 cans. I don't think they'll eat 10 cans, but nevertheless, they'll eat most anything else. But nevertheless, a sheep needs to have good pasture and good water. And that's what Jesus wants to lead us into, green pastures and by the still waters. Because a sheep itself won't drink out of running water, so they tell me. But still waters and clear waters is what they delight in, from what I can understand. So we need the pure waters of life, which comes only from the throne of God. As Ezekiel said, he seen it coming out from the throne of God, out of the house of God, and it flowed out, and it come up to measures of water that got to where it was too deep for him to swim. It was deep enough to swim in, but too wide for him to cross. My friend, it was speaking about the Spirit of the living God that dwells in man if they will accept him as he is to be and as he is. God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To be filled with the Spirit, that is Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we may from time to time speak in that heavenly language. It's either to edify you or to let someone know that the Spirit of God dwells in you, or it may be a message that would be interpreted by another and let people know that what God has for them in store. So be aware of these things and trust in the Lord. He'll guide you into truth and in the righteousness. Read your word. Let me encourage you definitely to read your word. It's all there. Paul speaks about it in Corinthians and Galatians and these. If you just read it and study it for yourself, you'll know what I'm saying. But we just pray that God will bless you and keep you, and those that have wrote to us, emailed us, and those of the prayer requests, we pray that God would move on the scene and answer their request and touch and heal and bring forth and bless. But it's the intent of my wife and I's heart to lift up the name of Jesus to them that would hear, that they may receive the blessings of God. It's not, can't be bought with money and gold and silver. And we just want to win souls for the kingdom of God. That's our desire. God's meeting our needs, so we're not desiring to be rich people. We're not desiring to fly around all over the country in a Learjet or wear $800-$900 suits or ride around in a Mercedes Benz or wear Rolex watches. I got one I think I paid $8 for, and it keeps good time. So nevertheless, we're into this to win souls for the glory of God. They'll help us to understand the best that we know how that God is God all over the world and everywhere else. He come to die for sinners such as we, because we were all lost without any hope until he come and died for us and brought hope. Now we have that hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We want to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified, but he's alive. He's alive forevermore. Because he lives, we live. If you'll accept him as being your Lord and Savior, you can live, though the old flesh may lay down someday, which it will, but that new man will come alive in Christ Jesus and rise upon that day of God and come forth in a new body, not with aches and pains. Let me encourage you to read your Bible, just to understand that God loves you and I. He loved us before we ever was. And it was in the mind of God that before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ, the Son, God in the flesh, would come and die for our sins. So be a good steward of the word. Read your Bible and find out for it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. It's there, there in the lid of the Bible. Read it, and it will bring you forth into the truth. But this time we're going to go to prayer, and then my wife's got something other here. We want to pray for each and every one of you. Pray for our men and women that are in these wars over there, that God will help them, return them home to their loved ones, and these that have fought in these places and God will come home lamed and all. Just pray for them that God will bless them and help them in their time of need. We just pray, God, that will help us all to be a better person than what we've ever been, hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God and giving him praise and glory. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy and for that time that you spent on Calvary to bring forth salvation to a lost and dying world. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We ask your blessings upon those that are in harm's way of our men and women. We ask that you would touch those that have come home mangled up in the problems that they're having from different reasons and different causes. We just pray that you would help us all, oh God, to come to the full knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord and our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give praise and honor unto him. We'll go about your business, Lord, not making plans for the flesh, but making plans to enter into the kingdom of God by giving you praise and honor, repenting and giving the glory to God for all things, and knowing that without you that we can do nothing. So we honor you, we give you the praise and the glory for all things in the precious name of Jesus. We pray that you would bless those that have wrote to us, give them the encouragement to read and to study your word. And we just give you the praise for all that will be accomplished in that precious name of Jesus. We give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife now. She's got something other here for us. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. I just thank the Lord again for this opportunity that I can share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I just pray that it'll be a blessing to you, and that it'll help you on to draw closer and closer and closer to the Lord as these last days we're approaching. A lot of people, you know, they scorn about it, they laugh about it and everything, but I'm serious. There's so many things going on in this world that has never happened before. And this afternoon I want to share with you, are you a costume? Are you portraying yourself in a costume or a uniform? And this is out of the Daily Bread, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind me reading it and sharing it with you. But scriptures that I have references is Romans, the 13th chapter, through the 11th verse through the 14th. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34, Ephesians 5 and 14, Isaiah 61 and 2. And if you would like to have these scriptures and let me know anything that I read on the broadcast or on the internet or wherever you may be receiving this, you can write and ask for it, and I'll be glad to send it to you. And I'll give you my email and my address at the end when I read this. But today I would ask the question, are you wearing a costume or are you wearing a uniform? A woman gave an inspiring talk on Christian discipleship in which she said, a costume is something you put on and pretend that you are what you are wearing. A uniform, on the other hand, reminds you that you are, in fact, what you wear. Are you wearing a costume or are you wearing a uniform? Now, I know firsthand how this is about, she made a comment, and her comment sparked memories of the first day of the U.S. Army basic training when we were each given a box and ordered to put all our civilian clothes in it. The box was then mailed to our home address. Every day after that, the uniform that we put on reminded us that we had entered a period of disciplined training designed to change our attitudes and actions. And there again, I'm proud to say that I served in the Korean War. Not a long time, but I was in for 2 years, and I know what this lady was talking about, because every morning we'd put on our uniform. Either we were Class A uniform, where we were going to class, where we were going to Class B uniform doing something else, or if we were going out playing in the woods and everything, bivouac or field march, we put on fatigues. And for Jim, we changed another uniform. So every day that you put your uniform on, we knew what we was going to do. And cast off the works of darkness, the Apostle Paul told followers of Jesus living in Rome, and put on the armor of light. And that's found in Romans 13 and 12. He followed this with the command to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And that's in Romans 13 and 14. The goal of this casting off and putting on was a new identity and transformed living in verses 13 of Romans, the 13th chapter. When we choose to follow Christ as our Lord, He begins the process of making us more like Him each and every day. It is not a matter of pretending to be what we aren't, but of becoming more and more what we are in Christ. Many people go to church and they're Christians, but you see them the rest of the week, and Lord knows what they're going to do. They've got a costume on Sunday morning, or if the church is open like ours is on Sunday night, they put on their costume to pretend that they are Christians, pretend that they love the Lord and everything. But then on Monday morning, the rest of the week, they put on a different uniform. Doesn't have horns, but, you know, I don't know if the devil has horns or not, but sometimes I think he's got something, because they sure don't have the same uniform or the same costume they had on Sunday morning. Salvation is free. But discipleship will cost your life. And that was written by, I believe his name was Bonhoeffer. And he was a living example of what it was to be a Christian. But in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the first verse says, "Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And Isaiah 60:2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and great darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." And I just pray today that the light of God shines in my life, that people know by my actions that I'm not just wearing a costume, but that I've got on the uniform I'm proud of to serve a living God, not a dead God. He's not on the cross, not in the tomb, but he's living because I got him in my heart. And I can feel him every minute that I praise his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I just praise God this afternoon that he took this old stony heart, this old fleshly heart, this old sinful heart, and he put a new heart in me. He put a heart in me that I can lift up my heart, his name, and I can feel his presence all around me. Glory, hallelujah. And I just pray that you're blessed by this message this afternoon. It'll bring you a closer walk with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we'd appreciate it if you'd write to us, you'd email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com or Sally, S-A-L-L-Y, GCP4@yahoo.com. Encourage us. We've gotten emails from people in Puerto Rico, Ukraine, many parts of the world that we've gotten emails from, and they encourage us. If there's something you don't like, we got big shoulders. You can write and tell us that too. But if you would like to send us a little love gift to help us, we'd appreciate it. And, or if you want to request, send us something that I can share with other people on the radio or the emails and the internet, it would be greatly appreciated. And you can send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. And if you live in the Tampa Bay area, and you don't have anything that's more important to do on Saturday and Sunday night at 7:30, you're more than welcome to come and join us at a church where we don't entertain, but the Word of God is brought forth. And you can email us again at those email address, and we'll give you the address where the church is. And where the Word of God is preached, where you can feel the presence of the Lord, and there's no entertainment, no jokes. We're serious about this salvation message in the end time. And may God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Yes, we just appreciate the mail that we have received from the others. But my wife was speaking about there that uniform, many people go around in different occasions, Halloween and so on and so forth. Like, we even got some dresses up like Santa Claus and different people in that category and everything. But my friend, when we put on the armor of God and let the gospel come forth and shine in our life, that others would see Christ in us and respond to his grace by honoring him and praise and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. It's not a uniform that you wear of some kind of costume, but it's what you got in your heart. What you let people see in your life, the way you live and the way you express yourself when you're out into the world, they notice that you're not of the world, but you're different. makes them wonder, says, well, what is it different about him? And so they go to inquiring, and you can tell them that Jesus loved them enough to die for them, and he will make a difference in their life if they will only come to him and serve him in the beauty of holiness. My friends, it's time we begin to wake up to reality. Time is running out. We need to come to the place that we're in that we understand that that new life that we can put on, as Paul wrote in Romans 6:4, he said, therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that the like Christ are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So if you accepted him as your Savior, and you put on that human form and you call yourself a Christian, then walk in a different light than what you did when we were in sin and darkness in there. We walked in darkness. We walked according to the lust of the flesh. But when you put on that new man, Christ Jesus, when we allow him to come in our life, we should change and walk in the newness of life. Walk a different walk. Turn around and not walk no longer in darkness, but walk in the light of the gospel, praising the Lord. You take a hog or there and take him out of the hog pen and wash him and clean him up, and you might even tie a ribbon around his neck, and he looks real good and clean and sharp and everything, but you turn him loose and see what he does. The nearest hog waller, he's going to get in there, and there goes your ribbon, and you're going to have to wash him up again. But that's not the way it should be, my friend. The scripture says it'd be like a hog turning to its own waller, or even maybe like a dog turning to its own vomit. So there, when you come to be a Christian, you need to walk in the newness of life. Don't fool around with those things that will drag you back into the hog pen, or lusting after something other that's already been discarded. You need to walk in the newness of life, calling upon the name of the Lord. Therefore, it's by faith, and as Paul expressed in Romans 8:1, but faith there in 2 Corinthians 5:7, he said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You cannot see the glory of God except you see in the lifestyle of a person that you had once known, and he changed and let the Spirit of God come into his life, and he's changed. Then you'll see what I'm saying. When we were in sin, we done the things that most people do in sin. Now, some got a little bit more morals to them than some of the people have today in this lifestyle they live and everything. But moral good is not going to get it until we repent and let God come into our life. Be godly sorrow. Repent and ask God to apologize to him for your sinful life and let him come in and make a new person out of you. Then you put on that uniform that will bring forth and shine out as righteousness, as a Christian should. You walk in a different light. You walk in the ways of the gospel instead of in the ways of sin. Galatians 5:16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, my friend, the lust of the flesh goes forth to lust after all of these big time places and events and things and whatever is going on in the world. The lust of the flesh caters to that kind of stuff. But if you walk in the Spirit of God is going to lead you into the place to where in that you can have your soul fed by the reading of the word, by the preaching of the gospel, and walking as a shepherd would lead the sheep into green pastures and by the still waters, and they can lay down and rest. But if you run around in the world, in the world's costume and everything, you're going to be always on the go, doing something or other. Whether it's detrimental to your soul or not, it still, if it has not, it doesn't glorify God, then it's not going to be pleasing to him. So we need to understand that Paul was a chosen vessel to God, but yet he was a man that knew the law, and he thought that he was obeying everything that was the law, because the law was given to the children of Israel or to the Jewish people by Moses. But my friend, grace came by Jesus Christ unto you and I, and so there is a difference. The law couldn't save him, but Paul knew the law, and he thought that he was doing right by persecuting them that called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was met up with the Lord on the road to Damascus in that great light, greater than the noonday sun. And he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecuted. It's hard to kick against the brick. My friend, if you're kicking against God's salvation, it's a losing battle. You can't win. God is going to have the last words to say, and I would rather to hear him say, enter into the rest, rather than depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So it's going to be up to you and I to whom with it we serve. Now, if you want to continue in serving the world and all the things that the devil has out there for you to get into, you can do so. But if you want to serve the Lord and praise and worship him in spirit and in truth, you can do that. It's your decision, because God gave you that right for to make your own decision, and therefore it's your decision. You can decide to serve the Lord, and God will bless you and help you, and he will help you to even grow closer to him and walking in the Spirit by faith. We don't walk by sight, even though we know that the carnal man has to look where he's walking. If you don't, he's going to run into something or other. But walking by faith is walking after the Spirit of God, believing in him and trusting in his word, and then that the word is brought forth and manifested in the flesh to us to come to die for us, and that he did so to bring you into the new life, into a life everlasting, wherein that there will be a resting place in the end of our life here in this world, that if we hid in Christ, that we'll be brought forth and we will appear with him in glory. So the choice is yours and mine. I made a choice to serve him, and I'm glad that I did so, because I want to see life eternal. I don't want to be cast into hell, into outer darkness. But that's what that last thing, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. If you hear that, then you're going to be separated from God eternally. No hope in outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a torment for the duration, in other words. But you can have that voice to say, enter into my rest, and he will bring you into the place to where he said, I will go and prepare for you, that where I am, there you may be also. My friend, wouldn't that be more glorious and more appealing to you than to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? It's your decision, but let me encourage you that you pray and seek God. Read the Word of God and see for yourself and make your decision. But I hope you make the election there sure and be hid in Christ Jesus, repenting of your sins, trusting in him, and if you already have done so, that just trust more in him. Walk in the way that he would have you to walk. Listen to the voice of God by the reading of his word and allow him to lead you into greater depths in Christ Jesus. You can do so. It's just a matter of you be willing to be what he wants you to be. Some of us have been called for preaching and some for just being a witness, but we all have called to be a witness of the glory of God. Now, the apostles, they were called. Now, if you'll notice that Jesus didn't go to the synagogues, out to the places that were in, that all them people that was there that should have known, but they brought forth a false teaching. Teaching that to obey the law. The law couldn't save them, but they still taught and said to when the Gentiles, they couldn't be saved unless they be circumcised, their circumcision by hand. But as they later on come to find out that Paul brought forth to them the gospel there, he said, there's neither nothing wrong with circumcision if you want it to be that way, but it was not saved. It won't save you. and the law couldn't save them. So Jesus come to fulfill the law and bring forth grace. So it's by grace we are saved, not by the law. Because the law, if a person's going to abide in the law, he and done one part, he had to be doing the whole thing. The house of Israel didn't do it. They failed short in many occasions. They couldn't even keep it themselves. But they was wanting to require the Gentiles to be circumcised like they were, or elsewise they couldn't be saved. But that's not true. The Bible speaks different. The circumcision of the heart is where the Spirit of God comes in and cuts that old stony heart out, puts your flesh heart in, and breaks the believer to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. Put on that armor of light, the whole armor of God. Salvation, trust, and truth, and walk in the newness of life. Having your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. My friend, to follow after peace with all men. It's kind of hard to do this day and time, I admit. But if we walk in the light and not walk in the darkness, darkness means that you're walking in places where you don't need to be walking to start with, because the trouble in this world that's come into here now, you walk into some of these places and they notice that you're not one of them and you're not part of their gang, they're going to put a hurting on you. But if you walk in the light of the gospel, following after Christ Jesus, he will lead you by the still waters of life. He'll bring forth and fill you with his Spirit, with that waters of life, as he told the woman at the well of Samaritan there. You see, the Jews didn't care anything about the Samaritans. They were just dogs as far as they was concerned. Now, you notice that Judah was the one that was called Jews. But the whole house of Israel was called Israelites, but they were not all Jews, but they were all Israelites. So this woman in the well at the Samaritan was in the there in the northern part, but Jesus came and told her about the glory of God, told her about the living waters. And she accepted it and went and told others. Well, that's what we're supposed to do, is to tell others. Then they can come. Well, we don't no longer believe because you said so, but well, now we have seen and we have tasted. In other words, we know for sure. That's what it's all about. To let your light so shine that God, that they will see Christ in your life, and they too would come to him in truth and in spirit. My friends, it's time that people woke up to reality. This world is teeter-tottering on the brink of destruction. We're having all kinds of problems going on, things that are unusually happening. Here not too long ago, it was coming up a blizzard and a snowstorm, you might say, in one part of the United States, and had an earthquake at the same time. Never heard of it before, and I'm well up in the age, my friend. And everything doesn't seem a lot of changes made since 1933. I'm telling you, things have changed so drastically until it's hard to keep up with it. But my friend, Jesus Christ has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll bring you to the place to wherein that you will have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life that he wants to give you is life eternal. We haven't got to that place yet, but he said he would bring us into it. So life abundantly would serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness while we're here in the flesh. And then when we leave and depart from this world by whatever means it may be, by the way of the grave or through the rapture of the church, we will walk with him as he said, that he would walk with us, and we would walk with him. In that new world, in the kingdom of God, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So it's up to you and I. But let me encourage you again, read the Bible. Find out for yourself. Don't take somebody else's word for it. These people that goes and tells you, you don't need to read the word of God. We'll read it for you and we'll tell you what it says. Don't believe that hogwash, because that man will tell you anything, what he wants you to hear. And it'll 9 times out of 10, it's liable to lead you in the wrong direction. But read the Bible for yourself. If you're in one of those places that we're in, that the man stands up there, priest or whatever he is, stands up there and says, we're going to read the word for you and we'll interpret it and we'll tell you what it says. You don't need to read it. You need to find your place where you can feel free to read along with the man that's reading, and you'll know what it says. And if he says something that ain't right, then you'll know it. Let me encourage you, read your Bible. But then, we got to be, as Paul was writing to the Ephesians in 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein that you have been called. You see, the call is gone out. Salvation has come forth from the cross to all men who will receive it. But there, needless to say, that there's many people today that not, they may have heard the call, but they ignored it. They won't accept it. And there's been a lot of them has went by the way of sin into death, and they are cast out into darkness. My friend, you don't have to be that way. You can. The call has gone out to salvation. God has called us all into the hope of the glory of God through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, yet while before we was ever born. Yet while we were sinners, he died for us. So if we listen to the scriptures and read the word of God, we'll see that the call has gone out. And it's up to you to accept it and then walk in the calling that we're in, that you're called. Called into righteousness with Christ Jesus. But if you don't want to do that, well, that's up to you. But we need to read in Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wisdom will let you know that there is a God that serves in this world as he pleases. He's the God that created everything. Everything belongs to him to start with, and the things that he has blessed you with, you ought to worship him and give him the glory and the honor for it. Oh, I know that there's many people that are rich and all powerful and all these things and all, but it's only because God had allowed it to be. It's only because that for some reason or another, that man or woman may be building their lives on a false hope, and they may have power to do so, but if they don't choose to serve the Lord, all that power on that day of God when he said, depart from me, you work of iniquity, ain't going to do them no good. Bible speaks about, and Revelation speaks about, that there be many that would say, Lord, we've done all these great things in your name. We've opened the blind eyes, healed the sick, and raised the dead and all that stuff. Because he didn't have on the uniform and wearing it proudly, upholding his name, they mixed and mangled with everything in the world. He called them false teachers. He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So it's only one plan of salvation God got, and that is Peter stood upon the day of Pentecost, and when he stood there and related upon that the God that they had taken and crucified, the Lord of glory, that God had raised him up and had brought forth and showed unto the world many times that he was alive and alive forevermore, and they began to hear, and they went to, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? He said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Plain and simple. And if they're going to teaching another gospel, then pay no mind to it. Read your Bible. Find out what it has to say about salvation. Peter had the keys, and he opened it up to you and I as Gentiles, because he had to first take and go to the Gentiles, which was Cornelius's house, and told him the same thing, the plan of salvation. And the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they began to speak in tongues as they did. And Peter says, can water be forbid to them that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Father is not a name, it's a title. Son is not a name, it's a title. I am a father of my children, and I am also the son of my father and mother. But that's not my name. My name is Earl D. Compton. That is my name. That's what I have to sign on any document or whatever. I can't sign it father or son. Be realistic, my friend. Be understanding. Open your eyes to the truth of God's word. When Jesus said, told the apostles there to go into all the nations, teaching them whatsoever that he had taught it, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, he specifically brought forth and mentioned a name, and that name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God manifested in the flesh, came to die on the Calvary's cross. You see, you can't take the Spirit of God and nail it to nothing. You can't even see it. Do you see the wind when it comes, or you know where it goes? That's just about the way it is. My friend, God was manifested in the flesh, came and died for you and I. He gave his life that you and I could have life. So it's up to you and I. Now we can come to the place of where we can accept him as our Lord and Savior, calling upon his name and repenting, being godly sorrow for our sorrowness of our sins and everything, and letting God come into our life. Or we can go on our own sinful way, walking in the lust of the flesh and whatever, and die and go to hell. It's your decision. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God did not make hell for the people. He made it for the devil and his angels. But hell, according to the scriptures, has enlarged itself to wherein that it'll be large enough to accommodate all of them that be foolish enough to go there. Ain't gonna be no picnic, my friend. It's gonna be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Read your scriptures and you'll find out what he told about the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man wasn't getting no water, but he wanted Lazarus to come, but he couldn't. And that going and paying the priest $50,000 or $60,000 to get somebody out of purgatory is a bunch of hogwash. Once you're there, you're there. You can't get out. Nor can them that's in the kingdom of God go to relieve you of any of your suffering by giving you a little water. It just ain't possible. It's impossible. But if you want to believe that lie that some of them people has told you, that it's up to you. But let me encourage you, read your scriptures and find out. Don't believe a lie, but some people are believing a lie that they'll be damned. They're going to be turned into hell. So the choice is yours and it's mine. I'd rather accept the word of God as truth than be therefore born again with that hope of glory, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and at the time that the refreshing comes, that I'll be a part of the kingdom of God. I'd rather be in a corner in promised land than dwell in a house or a mansion here on this earth and die and go to hell. I'd rather just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. I can just see Jesus and hear the angels sing. That would be satisfaction to me. But I'm persuaded to believe if we get into the kingdom of God, whatsoever that is there, we can be a part of. So I'm just glad to know that there is a God that loved me enough. He came in the flesh to suffer and to die for my salvation. I'm glad and I praise him and I thank him for that day at Calvary that he spent there for this miserable life that I had, and he brought me into the glorious gospel of the born-again experience that I have with my Lord and Savior. I'll tell you, there's nothing in this world that can compare to it. Not that I've ever found, and I've run all over almost all over the United States, been a little bit out of the country, but I ain't found nothing in no place I've ever been that compare to the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ being in your life. It just ain't, I just haven't found it. Anybody else says they have, well, I don't know. but I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Looked down one day upon this here old boy and seen where I was at, lost without any hope, but he gave me hope and he dealt with my soul, answering the prayers of my mother and others that I'm sure prayed for me, and brought me to the place pull me out of a wheelchair and put me on my feet after a back injury and surgery and told I'd be paralyzed, not work no more. He brought me forth, and I'm proud to stand up on my feet as he gave me the ability to do and proclaim his name and his salvation in Christ Jesus. I'm glad to know that there is a God that loved me enough, and he suffered the stripes for my healing. I'm glad to know that he died for my salvation and come forth there out of the grave, and he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. I just believe that, my friend, if you have a taste of him, you'll find that he's good, and you'll find that there's nothing like him having salvation. Your sins be beneath the blood of the Lamb, and you have that burden of sin lifted from you, so if anything happens to this old flesh in this world, that the Spirit of God will undertake and go with you beyond the grave. We can go with our friends and loved ones there to the graveside and see them be put down. But that's as far as we can go. But Jesus will go on beyond the grave and bring them into this kingdom if they know him as their personal Savior. But if they have not known him as their personal Savior, then the other guy's going to go with him beyond the grave. And you don't want to go that way. You want to go in the elevator that's going up, so to say. Going down in the basement ain't always the best thing to do, unless you got something stored down there, and then you can come back up. But, my friend, you haven't got nothing stored in hell. And once you're there in that basement, you ain't coming up no more. It's there, and it ain't coming up. So be careful about these religions. Salvation is from Jesus Christ through faith in him and the finished works of Calvary. Religion can come to be any old kind of thing. Religion is not going to save your soul. Religion over your wife or the beauty that she is and whatever, or your children, how good they are, and that's you religious about that is one thing, but salvation only comes from Jesus Christ. And you can be in a recipient of it if you will allow him to come into your life. But you can still cherish your wife, cherish your children, and take care of whatever else God's blessed you with the best of your ability. But you're going to have to come to the Lord yourself and be saved again to where when that time comes, you lay down on the deathbed, that you can look up and say, "Come on, Lord Jesus." Otherwise, it's going to be rough. My friend, let me encourage you to read your word. Read the Bible. Read it and study it, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of your faith, knowing that you got to have that Spirit of God in you to be illustrated in you. It says in 1 John 1:7, said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Christ likeness in 1 John 2:6, he says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he has walked." Walking in the light of the gospel, walking in faith, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ to be the author and the finisher of your faith, calling upon the name of the Lord while that you can. Because if death comes over you and you don't know him, ain't going to do you no good to call on him then, because you'll be lost. Be lost for eternity. Had you rather give him your life today rather than to die and go to hell, then you could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, and his sins be forgiven unto you. And when death comes, you can be brought into the kingdom of God. The rich man died and was buried. In hell he lifted up his eyes. And Lazarus died also and was carried to Abraham's bosom by the angels. He was comforted, but the rich man had it all while he lived, but he didn't have nothing but pain and torment and after death. So it's up to you, and be encouraged. Read your Bible and find out what it has to say, and let God come into your life. We just appreciate the mail we've got. We pray that God will bless those that have requested prayer. We pray for you, and we will. Write to us. Let us know your request, and we will make it known unto the Lord, and we'll hold you up before the Lord in prayer. As you pray, we pray one for another. And may God richly bless you, my friend. Until next time, take time for Jesus. Out of your daily life, give him praise and honor. Read your Bible and give God the glory and honor for all things in Jesus' name. As we close, may God richly bless you, my friend, and keep you until next time. Take time for Jesus. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecomptn 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.